Guys, we're going to jump into our scripture into our sermon this morning. If you would, get your Bibles opened up to John chapter 8, verse 12. Braden, you're going to have to run this for me. It's not finding the computer. Good thing it's only 8 slides today and not 18, so it'll be a little bit easier. Find yourself this morning to John chapter 8, verse 12. We have been going through, and let me just start by saying welcome to Engage Church. Guys, I am so glad that each one of you decided to join us today. And I believe that it's with purpose and intention that the Lord brought each of you here today. It's not by accident. You didn't just come for ice cream. You may think that's why you came today, but you came because there's a word from the Lord that we all need to hear this morning. And whether you're visiting today or you've been here and you've been part of this entire series, we've been answering one of life's biggest questions, and that is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? It's not based on opinion. It's not based on fun social media quotes. Instead, we've been looking at the person of Jesus directly from who Jesus says that he is. We're using his words of how he said he, who he is, in his I am statements. And so far, and you'll notice we're in John chapter 8. Last week, we were John chapter 20. And so, yeah, we skipped. We skipped because I wanted this to be the last one we talked about. And so far, we've gone through what Jesus says about himself. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Last week was I am the true vine, where we had 6 people dedicate their life through baptism, public proclamation of who Jesus is in their life. What a great lineup that was for being part of the vine. And today, for the finale of this series, he gives one more bold, beautiful, and powerful identity statement. And it's this: I am the light of the world. And so if you have your Bible, open it to John chapter 8, verse 12. It is one verse today. This is the easiest Bible reading we've had. But here is what it says. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am, we're going to break this down by the way today. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, what in the world does that mean, right? Before we get into it, before we dive into it, there's some things that you need to understand in context. I only read you one verse. There's a whole lot of context around this that we need to bring to this verse today. And so here's the context. This moment when Jesus says this, it happens during a major Jewish celebration. It is during the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. Anybody heard of that before? Feast of Tabernacles, right? Get into the Old Testament, you'll find what that is. And so for 7 days, the people remembered how God provided for their ancestors in the wilderness, which is after Moses went to Pharaoh and said, what did he say? Let my people go, right? And so the Lord provided for them in the wilderness. He provided food, water, and uniquely, he provided guidance to the people of Israel. And so one of the ways that they celebrated during the Feast of Tabernacles was to light giant lampstands. And if you read when they were setting up the temple, and you'll know how the light, because they go into great detail of how to design all this. So you'll understand kind of how the lampstands look. But they lit these giant lampstands every night in the courtyard. And the reason for that was because the lights symbolized the pillar of fire that the Lord used to lead Israel by night through the desert. In the day, it was a cloud. In the night, it was a pillar of fire. And so this symbolized to them that the Lord was faithful and guided Israel through the desert. And the glow from the temple, I just need you to imagine this. Imagine this church having lampstands high up in the air that were lit every night. The glow of the temple could be seen across the city. It was certainly a powerful reminder of God's presence in the Israel's lives. Imagine that being our church today. Imagine if we had that heritage. We don't. We have the heritage because we're bonded into the body of Christ. But could you imagine the lampstands late at night burning, glowing across the city? It just, the scene just sets it up. Now, if you read a little bit further into chapter 8, you'll see in verse 20 that Jesus was speaking in the treasury. And the treasury was located in the court of women. I know this is a lot of information, but it's good. It was located in the court of women, which was the very place where those lampstands stood. And so they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, how the Lord provided and led Israel through. The lampstands are lit. They just went through a 7-day celebration of this. We don't know if it was at night. We don't know when, but it was during that feast, so it's fresh in everybody's mind. And so even if the lights weren't on, even if the lampstands weren't burning at the exact moment, when Jesus said this, the image was still fresh in everybody's mind. The Lord was their pillar of fire that led them. He was their light. Jesus stands before them and he says, "I am the light of the world." They just spent a week celebrating, and Jesus has the audacity to stand in front of them and say, "I am the light of the world." He's telling them, he's telling us today, listen, you need to hear this today. He's telling us that he is the one who leads. He is the one that reveals truth, and he is the one that releases you from darkness. We can practice saying that louder the next time we have a good hook like that, okay? He's not pointing to tradition. He's not saying, remember the ways of our people. Remember the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's light these lampstands. He's not pointing to tradition. Instead, he's pointing to himself. He doesn't say, "I was the light for Israel." He says, "I am the light of the world." That means it's no longer exclusive, but totally inclusive of every person who has ever lived or breathed on this planet today.
Amen.
Nicole is on it today. I get fired up when people start amening. So he says that I am the light of the world. It is not just for the group of people back then. It is for everyone right now and all time. So what are the implications of this? What does this mean for us today? If this is true, if Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," what does that mean for us? Let's break it down. Our first point this morning. Jesus is the light that breaks the darkness. How does the flashlight work? Brayden, flip it to... I'm going to mess everything up, aren't I? Flip it to wall. Norm, hit number 8 on the number behind you, on the wall. Click it. Click number 8. How does the flashlight work? It pushes darkness away, doesn't it? What did he say? Battery? Matthew, I love you. That is awesome. Guys, light chases darkness. What is darkness? The absence of light. Right? Go ahead and put it back to wall, or put it back to console and get her light. It worked. I'm lucky. Jesus is with us today. After saying, "I'm the light of the world," Jesus gives a promise to us. He says, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So in Scripture, what you need to understand is darkness often points to more than night. Who knows that Jesus isn't talking about nighttime here? Right? It's not about nighttime. It represents being lost, being confused, being stuck in sin, full of fear, and completely disconnected from God. That is what darkness means. And so that's the reality for maybe some of you in here today. That you're wandering through life. You have no clear direction. You don't know where you're going or when you're coming or anything like that. You're weighed down by the guilt of your past. Listen, Jesus keeps no record. Why are you? Are you awake this morning? Why are you carrying the guilt of your past? When Jesus says, "I have forgiven it and I have forgotten it," why would you still carry it with you today? It's not relevant anymore, is it? Here's what it is. It defines who you are maybe as a person today. You've grown. You've experienced some life. Who's experienced some life, right? Everybody who's got breath in their lungs this morning. But we're not designed to walk and to carry this. So You might be weighed down, and you're even unsure if you can even trust this person of Jesus. Listen, by Jesus saying this, he's stepping in, and he's saying to all of us, if you will follow me, you won't walk in any of that anymore. If you will follow me, you won't walk there anymore. You no longer have darkness surrounding you, but you have the light of Jesus around you. He's not offering us information. Information is worthless when there's not a transformation. So what he has offered to us today is transforming truth that he is the light of the world and you no longer have to live in the darkness of your sin. I'm going to get beside myself here, guys. Come on. So this is exactly what Isaiah was looking forward to when he wrote in Isaiah 9:2. Put that on your notes. I don't have it on the overhead. Isaiah 9:2, it says this. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Guess who he was talking about? The person of Jesus. Jesus is the great light. This is who he was talking about. That promise was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And even if we look at the beginning of John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, we see the same idea. Here's what it says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Right? Come on. He has not overcome it. So that means no matter how dark it is, it doesn't matter what your past is riddled with, it doesn't matter how stuck you feel in this moment right now, the darkness does not win when Jesus steps in. Write that down. The darkness does not win when Jesus steps in. Put that on your fridge, put it on your mirror in the bathroom. Darkness doesn't win when Jesus steps in. King David also knew this. In Psalms chapter 27, verse 1, he says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" When Jesus says that you won't walk in darkness anymore, he's not saying that life gets easier. Who can testify that life is still just as hard today as it was before I started following Jesus? He doesn't promise that life is easier. He promises that it's infinitely better, but you're still going to face the trials of this world. Up until he calls us to heaven, you will face trials of this world, period. It's not going to change. But instead, he says it will get clearer. It will get infinitely better, and you can walk now with confidence because you know the one who goes before you. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So here's the question. What area of your life feels stuck in darkness right now? What are you navigating that feels like you are stuck in this? What fear, what sin, what confusion has the enemy brought in to cloud your heart or your mind? This is why we prayed for surrender this morning. This is why we said, Lord, remove anything that defiles me in your presence, because we desire more of you. We want more of you in our life. Jesus says, follow me, and you won't walk there anymore. If that is not worthy of honor and praise to his name. Follow me and you won't walk in that anymore. How many of us have tried to escape the junk that we have put ourselves in? And it has failed time and time and time again. Jesus says, turn to me and you won't walk there anymore. There is victory in my name when you follow me. Jesus keeps going because Jesus doesn't stop there. Praise the Lord that Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say we won't walk in darkness. He says he's going to give us something in return. What does he say? Jesus is the life. You with me, Braden? One more. There we go. Jesus is the light that gives life. Jesus says you'll no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life. Jesus doesn't just lead us out of the darkness. He fills us with something better than darkness. He fills us with something so much infinitely better. The light that he gives isn't guidance. It's not just guidance. You know what it is? It's life. It's real life. It's eternal life. He fills us with a hope. He turns us into a position where we walk in life and hope towards eternity with him in heaven one day, not just to get me through this sour situation I'm walking through. And so in that, he gives us a new way of thinking. He gives us a new way of living our lives. And he gives us an ability to become the person that God made you to be. Who knows you cannot become the person that God wants you to be by your own effort? Why? Because we all fall short of the glory of God. It is through Christ Jesus alone. So to become the person that God wants us to be, what do? We submit and we surrender. Stacy, great song choice. We surrender our lives to Christ Jesus. So that means that following Jesus isn't about leaving sin behind. It's stepping into something that's fuller, more life-giving, and brighter. And that's the hope of Jesus. It has more meaning than what you had before Jesus. So he doesn't just rescue us from sin. He doesn't just rescue us from darkness. He sets our hearts on fire with purpose and hope. As Christians, we all have a hope. Do you know what that hope is? That he's going to return as promised to gather his church and to take us to heaven with him. Hope of eternity in his presence. That's what we have as believers of Christ Jesus. Listen, if you're in here today and you think that when you're dead, listen. As a Christian, yes, your vessel is going to expire. Your spirit does not expire. It's either going to spend eternity in the presence of God or completely, totally severed and severed and separated from the presence of God. If you want to know what true darkness is, that's the choice you make. Otherwise, we have a hope of eternal life. Not for my physical body. I made the joke with Vicky this morning. I hate getting old. My ankle hurt this morning. Every movement just wanted to creak weird and funny. And she informed me that I'm half her age and I've got no idea what I got coming yet. I don't know. I was pretty sore this morning. I kind of feel like I know what's coming, you know. But anyways, he sets our hearts on fire with purpose. He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that gives us that hope. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 8, verse 5, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If we have received the light, then we should be showing the light. Show and tell. Okay? Receive, show, and tell. That's identity language. That's where this language of identity comes in. You're not just in the light, but you are the light. You share in the light because of him. That means that your choices, your relationships, your words, and your attitude all begin to reflect the light that you have received. It's time to do a heart check. What is the thermometer saying that we're showing? Are we showing the light of Jesus? Or are we still letting our selfish desires overrule what Jesus has for us? We're reminded in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. And so when we walk in the light, when we walk in the forgiveness that we are given through the blood of Jesus, when we walk in unity, we walk in purpose. So if you're lacking some purpose this morning, understand that Jesus is the life, that light that gives life. Jesus didn't just come to give us self-help. Who knows, we can find self-help books on every shelf and every aisle of stores. Instead, he came to give us a renewed life. He came to refresh our spirit in him. And that life is only found when we follow the light. You need to replace light with Jesus. It's only when we follow Jesus He's calling himself the light, but you need to understand he's talking about himself. So we've now seen that Jesus brings us out of the darkness. He fills us with life, but he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop changing us. It's not a one and done, but yet he calls us to be part of changing the world around us. Our third point, we are called to reflect his life. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Earlier in his ministry, earlier we'll see on the Sermon of the Mount, he also told his followers, "You are the light of the world. You are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Not so you'll praise one another and encourage. No, let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." That comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He was not saying that we become light on our own. He was showing us what happens when we walk with him. So when we stay close to Jesus, we begin to reflect his light to the people around us. They start to see evidence of that. Just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, our lives are meant to reflect the light of Jesus. Not just in moments of worship on Sunday morning, but it needs to be in our conversations, our homes, our workplaces, the way we treat people, what we do in our private time. Are we reflecting the light of Jesus? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:6, you can write this down as well. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This light is not something that we hide. It's not something that we keep to ourselves. My grandparents, bless their hearts, I hope my dad doesn't listen to this and tell them I'm talking about this, but they've been church attenders for all the years. They profess that they're Christians. Guess what never got talked about at home? Because it was personal. They were taught that it was personal. It's your relationship. It's supposed to be intimate between you and the Lord. And that's not at all what he calls us to do. It's not something to hide. It's not something to keep to ourselves. Listen, it is meant to be seen. When people see life change happen, what does that tell them? They want life change, right? They want that renewed hope that you have. They desire the same thing. They desire to see that joy in their life. So it's meant to bring hope to others. So why in the world, as professing Christians, do we keep our mouth shut? Why won't we talk about it? Is his blood only good for me and not you? You see where I'm going with that. When we don't share Jesus with those around, who's passing judgment? Is it my spot to judge? In the church, absolutely. Paul's very clear about that. But to the world that is lost, that hasn't heard the name of Jesus, it's not my place to judge. It's my place to show them the light of Jesus. And when I keep my mouth shut, I'm the one condemning them. Scripture has a pretty stern warning for those of us that do that. So here's the question. Are you reflecting the light of Christ in your everyday life? When people interact with you, do they see anything different? Do they sense hope? Do they sense truth? Do they sense love? Did you know that Jesus didn't call us to fit in? He called us to shine light wherever we go. So where does all of this lead us? Where do these three points from this scripture lead us today? Because we started with a simple but a powerful statement from Jesus. He says, "I am the light of the world." What a controversial thing to say during the Feast of Tabernacle. We've seen that Jesus is the light that breaks through the darkness. He is the light that gives life, and he has called us to reflect light to the world around us. You guys have heard me say, if you've been here for any amount of time, how many of you have heard me talk about our sphere of influence? There's people that you come into contact with every day that I will never encounter, and vice versa. Your sphere of influence, God has put you there for a purpose for this time in your life. You best do something with it. This entire series has been built around one question. Who is Jesus? We have heard him say, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And today he ends it. We end, really this was in the middle of his statements, but it's the one that we're using as the end. He says, I am the light of the world. And here's what each one of these statements has pointed us. They have pointed us to his character, his heart, and his mission. He's revealed everything that God sent him to do through these I am statements. But do you know that the goal was never just to inform us? It was to transform us. It was to bring transformation into our lives. So now, church, you're equipped. You have the full knowledge of who Jesus says he is. You have the answer. When somebody says, who is Jesus? You have an answer now. And so now that we know who Jesus is, here's the next question. What will we do with the truth that we have received this morning? What will we do with the truth that we have received this morning? See, at Engage Church, what is our mission? Say it with confidence. Yep, engaging our community for Jesus. That can look in a bunch of different ways. But do you know that it starts around how we live our lives and how we talk? That starts with each one of us taking what we have received in this series and putting it into practice in our everyday lives. It's by letting the light of Jesus lead us, fill us, and shine through us. Not to keep to ourselves, not to shut it off when certain people are around. It becomes your entire identity. Because I have no hope of my own. Who can testify to that? But I only have hope in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you hope in me, I will disappoint you. Because I'm not the person that you need to be all excited about. It's him. I'm simply a messenger. So if you put all of your eggs in one basket, right, you're going to... Listen, if you have any amount of faith in me, you shouldn't. I'll fail you. Because I'm a sinner, just like you. Without the blood of Christ, I'm just as wicked and filthy as you. So, you do not have to have it all together. You do not have to have your life together to be able to reflect his life. What that requires is you just have to be willing to stay close to him and not hide what he is doing in you. If you are gaining victory in things, you need to be telling people about it. Guys, Jesus is the light of the world. He has uniquely called each one of us out of darkness and into life. Now, guess what? It's your turn to carry that light into your home, into your school, into your workplace, and into your community. It is up to each one of us to carry this out. So here's the challenge today. Don't leave this series with a good set of notes. What good are notes if you never refer to them? How can you ever pass the test? Who's the one that always crams the night before a test and then does really good on the test? Anybody? Yeah, that was me as well. Give me long term. I'm failing every time. It's the night before, cram it, memorize. That way I can get the answers right on paper. Don't leave with a good set of notes. Instead, today, leave with a renewed commitment to walk with Jesus, to reflect his life, and to help someone else see the way. Can we be a church that lets people see who shines through us? When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is using each one of us to represent that light out into our community. So can we be a people who shine that light? If you would you stand to your feet, bow your head, close your eyes. This just gets you up moving, get the blood flowing to your legs again, your feet. Guys, you know that my position is every sermon preached has to have a call of salvation. And it's very simply the reason why is because I don't know where everybody's at. I don't know what situation you have walked through. I don't know the battles that you have fought in this week. And so before we close today, I'm speaking, if that's you, if I just described you, I'm speaking to you today. I'm speaking to anyone who might still be in the darkness themselves. Maybe you've tried to fix your situation. Maybe you've tried to search for peace in different things. But guess what? You're always left empty. Nothing has filled that emptiness in your life. Do you want the good news? The good news is this, that Jesus came for you. He died on the cross to pay for your sin, and he rose again to give you new life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, meaning I did not get right, but while I was still sinning, Christ died for us. This has nothing to do with about earning anything. It's about receiving what he already did. We know that Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, does anybody know? You will be saved. That promise is for you. It's for all of us. It's for our family. Guys, the promise is this, that Jesus Christ, upon repentance of sin, will come into your life and he will give you a renewed spirit. He will create in you a new being, a new desire. You will want to serve him. You will want to surrender to him. You will want to make more room for him because he is the only hope that we have in this world. So the question that must be answered is, have you said yes to Jesus? If not, may I suggest that this is your moment. That this is your moment to say yes. To step out of the darkness, step into the light, and today make the decision to begin a relationship with Jesus that changes everything. Be forgiven, be made new this morning. So if that is you, if any of that touched your heart, feel like you want to respond to that, every head bowed, every eye closed, that way it's personal, only I see it. If you would like to respond to that this morning, would you just raise your hand right where you're at so I can see it? You can put it back down. Anybody this morning? Praise the Lord. So church, before we move on, before we get to this special announcement moment, I want to give all of us a chance to respond. Because some of us have lived in this light for so long that maybe we've taken advantage of it and we've kind of forgotten the cost of what Jesus paid that our sins might be forgiven. Over the last 7 weeks, Jesus has told us who he is and all of his I am. The question is simple today. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with all of this information that you've been given? Is it information or is it a transformation? So if you've been distant this morning, I want to encourage you to come to the altar. If you have found yourself distant from the Lord, step out of the darkness into the light. Come. If you've been distracted, if life has been super difficult and you've been distracted by all the things coming your way, come. If you have found yourself drifting from the presence of the Lord, you're no longer reading your Bible every morning, you're no longer putting yourself into prayer, you're no longer seeking his face through the day, let me submit to you, you are drifting. To not grow is to drift. If that is you this morning, come. If you're ready to shine brighter, if you're ready to start spreading the hope of the light of Jesus unto your sphere of influence, come. If today is the day you step into the light for the first time, come. Let this be more than just an end of a series. Let this be a new beginning in your relationship with Christ Jesus. Church, if I just said anything that connects with you, the altar is open this morning. It is our responsibility to respond and to worship him for his goodness, for the hope that he gives us. Church, let's take a moment and let's after Jesus. Amen.